Father, we do come before You with thankful hearts because of Your mercy and Your grace, because of the satisfying righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, whereby our sins are forgiven, whereby that we can come to You and even let our requests and petitions be made known. And we pray, our God, that You would continue to be with us in this service. We thank You for those who are present. We ask that You be with those that are absent. We pray, Father, that You would speak to their souls as we ask that You would speak to ours. For Brother Michael in Washington, we ask that as he is having devotion this morning, that You would comfort, encourage, strengthen, and speak to his heart. We pray for those that are sick, that You would heal them, Father, and that You would show Your mercies toward them and protect them by Your grace and by Your power. Raise them up from the bed of affliction. And in the midst of trials and difficulties, I pray, Father, that they might have rich communion with You. We know that it's difficult when our bodies are hurting and we are in pain or sick in many ways, to keep our minds focused upon Christ because of the discomfort. But we know that it is possible, for all things are possible with You. And we would ask that. But we pray for healing mercies speedily. We do pray, Father, that You would be with Brother Tommy, and that You would guide and direct him. We thank You, Father, for the prospects of him being with us here at Covenant, and ask that You would encourage him and guide and give wisdom and direction for the transition. We ask, Father, that You would be with Brother Jeff and Sister Esther. We pray that You would bless them to sell the house soon, and that they might have the relocating done quickly and all be settled and together. Be with Sister Esther as she carries the child, and that all would continue to go well there. Be with brethren about the country, our God, standing in pulpits, proclaiming the unsearchable riches of Christ, and supporting the truth of Thy holy word. Now, Father, bless us as we endeavor to continue to look into Your word and to study therein, that we might conduct ourselves and know more about how to conduct ourselves in a way that is honorable unto You and agreeable unto You. We know, Father, that we need You. We need You every hour, and we ask that You would sustain us by Thy power. And yea, Father, before we close, we would also be mindful to ask that You would be with Brother Copeland, and that You would comfort him and bless him with good health as much as can be with his age all the days of his life, and give wisdom to those that minister to him. And it's in Christ we pray. Amen. As you know, we're looking at the subject Christian virtue. But in that, we began last Lord's Day looking at murmuring. Murmuring is not a virtue, but it is that which we need to control in our lives, that we might have a virtuous spirit about us. And we pointed out that from our text in Philippians 2:14 and from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10, that Paul gave the injunction to the church at Philippi not to murmur. And he gave the injunction also to Corinth not to murmur. To the best of churches and to the worst of churches, we might say, that's found in the New Testament, the admonition is that we should not be murmuring. And as Paul pointed out in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that these things were given to us for an example, talking about the children of Israel. We were looking at the Old Testament, at the children of Israel, and we saw them in their coming out of Egypt, and 3 days after they had gotten out of Egypt, they began to murmur. And God judged them severely for their murmuring. We want to continue looking along this line, and we want to drop over to the 14th chapter of Numbers. Numbers chapter 14. We want to see the horribleness of constantly griping and complaining at everything. This is a sin that affects us all. Some to more degree than others. Murmuring is what caused the children of Israel to wander around in the desert for 40 years. It was murmuring. It was murmuring. And they did so until the murmurers were dead. Murmurers kept the children of Israel from going in to the land of Canaan speedily. I want to read here in the book of Numbers, and I'll read a portion of the chapter. I won't read all of it at this time. But note, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron. Now we've already seen from the book of Exodus that when they were murmuring against Moses and Aaron, they were murmuring against God. And you've heard me make the analogy enough to know that when you complain against the authority that God has put over you, children, whether it's your parents, people, whether it's your bosses at work, or whomever, then we are murmuring against God. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. You ever get to the point that you say, well, I'm just tired of life. I just wish I did. Well, that's what the children of Israel were saying. We just wish we'd died back over there. Or just wish we were dead now. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. We don't like this leader. Let's get us another leader and let's go back to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. In other words, they just dropped right down there in front of them and started praying. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. Now, what had discouraged them, they went into the land, they came back, and 10 of the spies were griping. Verse 8, if the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. In other words, they all said, we'll just kill you. We're going to kill you, stone you. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have shown them, or showed among them? I will smite them with the pestilence, and disinherit them, and make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, and that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of cloud, and in the pillar of fire by night. Now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according to the greatness of thy mercy, as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt, even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Now I'll stop there for a while. They griped to Moses. Moses went in to beseech the Lord for them. We can learn some things from this, that after the spies returned from spying out Canaan, the congregation revealed their spirit of cowardice by murmuring. Notice, when a person is a coward, and when a person is not doing what he ought to be doing, he gripes and complains. They were griping and complaining because they were cowards. They were afraid. They couldn't take the land. God said, go in, spy it out. I'll give it to you. They came back, they didn't believe God. They didn't think God knew what He was talking about. And so they were cowards, and they were beginning to gripe and complain. Notice, in verse 2, we find something about murmurers. We're going to find several things here in the first three or four verses. First of all, they're never satisfied. Notice, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, would God we had died in this wilderness. Now what were they saying when they were in Egypt? God, get us out of here. When God got them out, then they wanted back. That's the way it is with a complainer. That's the way it is with a murmurer. They're never satisfied. They want something, they get it, then they gripe and complain with what they have. And then they want something else, and they get it, and they gripe and complain with that. Then God takes it away from them, then they gripe and complain about that. They're just constantly murmuring and complaining about everything. It's the woe is me mentality. Woe is me. Therefore, it leads to self-pity. Along with verse 2, verse 3, "And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?" Look what's happening to us. We're going to be destroyed. Our wives and our children are going to be destroyed. Woe is me, woe is me. Self-pity. Self-pity. Also in verse 3, we find they don't trust God. We say we believe in the sovereignty of God. When trials and difficulties come, do we look at it that this is something that the Lord has brought our way for our good? Or do we gripe and complain about it? About a week ago, Brother Leroy, bless his heart, he's found a lot of old English writings back in the 1600s, some of them first edition. Samuel Stinnett, I believe, Message on the Death of John Gill and things like that. He's scanning them in, putting them on his website, hoping to preserve some of this for the future generation. He sent me a message that a minister, these are Baptist works that he's doing, and I think the man's name is Hupton, H-U-P-T-O-N. I think that's when he sent me so much, I can't keep it all straight. But it was a letter to a discouraged or a discontented minister. I might ought to print that out for everybody along this line. But the essence was that the minister was undergoing some great trials and difficulty and mourning about it. And the man writes to him and encourages him in the fact that God has allowed it this way and God is sovereign. And though it is a time for weeping and a mourning because of the trial and because of the badness of the situation, yet, it's not a time to just give up, but we're to still trust the Lord in those times. When we go through the waters, when we go through the fire, the Lord is with us, and things of that nature. Beloved, we have a tendency to not trust God in our everyday life. Not trust God in our everyday life. We say, well, yeah, I trust God. I believe that Christ died for my sins, and I believe I'll be with the Lord in glory, and I trust the Lord for that, and that's good. Do we trust Him for the blackened nail when we hit the hammer and hit the wrong nail? You say, well, that's not God's fault. It's my fault that I hit the hammer. That's true. It is your fault. But God in His infinite power could have prevented you from making the missed blow. But He allowed you to hit your finger. What's He teaching me in that? I don't see anything in it. I may not see anything in it either. But it's one thing for sure it teaches us, we're not perfect. And it also teaches us we need God in our lives. For we can do nothing without Him. We can't even take a breath without Him. A small blood vessel in our brain could burst at any time and we'd be dead. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We're only one heartbeat away from death. If our heart were to stop beating, God is the sustainer of our lives. It is in Him we live and move and have our being. And to murmur and complain and gripe and bellyache about things reveals a spirit of discontentedness and self-pity and a lack of trusting in the Lord. You say, but it's not fun. No, it's not fun. Lord never said it would be fun. Even when the Lord chasteneth us, the Scripture says that no chastening seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. And we don't rejoice in the trial. We don't say, oh boy, I came down with the flu, I'm sick. That's sadistic. We don't do that. But we say, I'm thankful that in the midst of the sickness, God is still with me. And God is upholding me. And God is strengthening me. And yes, when it hurts, we don't understand why. We can still say, I don't understand why. But I know that I have an all-wise Heavenly Father that knows. One of the next things we find with the murmurer is in the fourth verse. They try to overthrow God's authority. Let us make a captain. Let us make us a captain. Why don't they get another boss in this place? Don't they know that they don't know what's going on? Every so often we have what's called at work PMP, performance management, something I done forgot what it is. I can't ever remember what it is. What it means is you're supposed to go before your supervisors and brag about what all you have done and what all you intend to do in order to sell yourself as being a good employee. I don't like it. I detest it. But I do a pretty good job. I keep records all year long in a little folder. And when it comes time, I just load it up. I did this, I did that, I did this, I did that, and so on and so forth. Usually they say, boy, you got enough on here. But they'll normally ask you, what do you think about me? What do I need to do? What improvements? And so on and so forth. And I've had that to my immediate supervisors all the way up to the head of our particular department to ask me that. And sometimes they'll say, do you think I need to be out on the floor more, visiting around with you and let you know this and that? My answer is always this, I don't know. I said, who am I to tell you that you need to do more of anything, because I don't know what all your job is. I don't know your headaches. I don't know your day-by-day frustrations. I may think that you're lacking in some area, but who am I to say what you need to do? You know, it's easy to say the boss ought to do this. It's easy for children to say the parents ought to wake up. You don't understand. It's easy for an employee to say, well, they just don't understand. And we don't understand their bosses that are breathing down their necks. After all, doesn't Whirlpool know I know how to run their business better than they do? With a spirit like that, it will keep you from murmuring at work. And when children go to parents, and parents say no for some reason, and sometimes parents cannot give you a reason that would satisfy you as to why they would say no, that you can't do something. They may not be able to put their finger on it. They just know that it's not right at that time. You've got to trust their judgment and their wisdom. There have been times that I have said no and stuck to my guns, and later on it was clearly manifested. Good thing Daddy said no. There have been times when I've said no and given in to whiners, and it realized later on I should have stuck to my guns. So what are you saying? I'm saying this. God leads authority. And He leads them in ways that we don't understand. Even He leads the authorities sometimes in ways they don't understand. God did not always explain to the children of Israel why they were to do various things. And if you'll read through the Old Testament, many times He said, "You do such and such because I am God." And that's the only reason He said, "I am the Lord, therefore you do this. I am the Lord, therefore you do that." And children, and we that are under authority need to realize that we are to do what we are told to do because they tell us to do it. Unless someone orders us to do something sinful or something that is violating the law, then we are under authority to stop our murmuring and obey. We should not try to overthrow the authority. The murmurer also desires to follow the worldly standard and go back to the world. You see, they said, "Let us make us a captain," verse 4, "and let us return to Egypt." Have you ever heard, or have you ever said, "Well, you know, I just had it better before I was a Christian. I didn't have near as much troubles and trials. I didn't have near as much difficulty. People didn't oppose me near as much." No. All dead fish floating down the stream are not going to oppose anything. It's difficult being a live fish swimming against the stream of a dead current. The Christian will always have it as a struggle and a trial in this world. And it will be difficult. So let us not murmur and let us not complain and talk about how good the world has it. Well, you know, Asaph said in Psalm 73, how that the rich, you know, they just live and they die and have no troubles. He said, I almost slipped until I went into the congregation of the Lord and understood their end. Murmurers desire to follow the standards of the world rather than the standards of God. Murmurers become rebellious. Look at verse 9. Joshua and Caleb, God had already said this about them. But in verse 9 He said, "Only rebel not ye against the Lord. Only rebel not ye against the Lord." Look at chapter 17 of Numbers. Numbers 17:10. The Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony to be kept for a token against the rebels. And thou shalt quite take away their murmurings from me, that they die not. Here they are, continuing to murmur, and God calls them rebels. God calls them rebels. Look in chapter 20, in verse 18. I must have have the wrong thing here. Verse 10, chapter 20 and verse 10. Now we made reference to this last Lord's Day, but notice in just before this, I think you find it in the book of Numbers, but shortly before this, Moses' sister had died. And you see this in Deuteronomy. She had just died. The children of Israel were griping about water again. And Moses said, wrongly at this time, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And he lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. Moses finally broke under the murmurings. Moses finally broke under the murmurings. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 1, where God summarizes the life of the children of Israel in the wilderness. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Verses 26 and 27. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and ye murmured in your tents, and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt, to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us. And then as God summarized it again in Psalm 106, notice what he said about the children of Israel. Psalm 106, verse 25. Well, I might read verse 24. Yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word, but murmured in their tents, and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Children, old folks, make the application. Do you go off to your room pouting? Mom and Daddy. Children of Israel murmured in their tents. Did they not think that God heard them? And did they not think that God would keep them from being blessed because of their murmuring? Children, you may want something. You may want something very dearly. But God may keep you from having it because of your griping, murmuring, complaining spirit. You can't seem to figure out why it never works out. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 9, not only did they rebel and were rebellious, but notice I stopped in the middle of the verse, only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. They were fearful. Afraid, always afraid. Afraid this is going to happen. Afraid that's going to happen. Fearful for this, fearful for that. And sad, in verse 10, they wanted to kill some of the leaders. Let's just stone old Joshua and Caleb. Get Moses and Aaron while we're at it. If they'd ever broken loose. And then in verse 11, they provoked the Lord. Notice. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? Your complaining spirit provokes God. And we saw in verse 12 that the murmurers would have been destroyed, humanly speaking, if it had not been for the leaders praying for them. Moses prayed for the children of Israel. Now, we have already seen in Exodus, 3 days after they got out of the land of Egypt, they were murmuring. 1.5 months later, they were murmuring again. Here we see that after He sends them into the land to go spy out the land and come back, they're murmuring again. Griping, complaining, murmuring, and they're doing this to Moses and Aaron. And what do they do? What do they do? They fall on their face. They pray to God. They pray to God, and then they tell them what God says. And they would have destroyed them. They would destroy the very ones that were praying for them, if they could. But notice, as we read, I'll take the time to read the rest of the chapter. Then we'll make some observations upon it. But notice, because of their murmuring, they stayed in the wilderness for 40 years. Beginning at verse 22. God is still speaking. Because all those men which have seen My glory and My miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted Me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to My voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. Neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But My servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed Me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he possessed, whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Now notice, they had already left Egypt, gone down to Sinai, up at Kadesh Barnea. They went in to spy out the land. They come back to Kadesh Barnea. That's where we are in the book of Numbers. And now He says, go back towards the Red Sea. Verse 26. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against Me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel which they murmur against Me. Say unto them. Now notice, Moses and Aaron had prayed for them. Now God said, you tell them this. As truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in Mine ears, so will I do to you. Tell them this. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against Me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey. In other words, they said, our children, they're going to die out here. He said, your little ones, which ye said would be a prey, them will I bring in. And they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and hear your whoredoms, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. See, there's idolatry right there. Not even talking about idolatry. Verse 34. After the manner of the days which ye searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. As I said, I the Lord have said it. I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land. Even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that went to search the land, lived still. And Moses told these sayings unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose up early in the morning and get them up into the top of the mountain, saying, Lo, we be here, and we'll go up into the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. In other words, what are they saying? Okay, God, we've sinned. God, we see that. We realize we've done wrong. We're going to go into the land now. We'll go. And Moses said, Wherefore now do ye transgress the commandments of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up. Okay, Lord, we've heard. We'll do right now. God said, too late. Too late. Beloved, sometimes we say, well, I'm going to get right now. We waited too long. All the struggle. For the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. Don't go up, you'll be smitten. Don't. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword. Beloved, if God is with you, you can chase 10,000 Amalekites and Canaanites by yourself. But if you have 10,000 and God is not with you, one Amalekite or Canaanite will chase you. Our defense and our strength is God. Verse 43 again. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword. Because ye are turned away from the Lord, therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. They said, we're staying here. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in that hill, and smote them, and discomfited them, even unto Hormah. Even unto Hormah. Now, Hormah's not on this map. I don't know that it's on this one. I'm not sure. I have looked it up, and I can't remember, but they were up here at Kadesh Barnea, and they fled even down to Hormah. They sent them a pretty good ways. Now think of this. From 20 years old and upward, there were approximately 600,000 men in the land of Israel. Of the Israelites. They stayed there 40 years. A 150,000 people had to die each year. Sir? 150,000. That's right, 15,000. Sorry. And I forgot how many people that was a day. I figured it up. I used to remember. I've been trying to remember, and I can't remember. But each day, on the average, so many people had to die. 15,000 a year. They had a lot of funerals in Sinai. A lot of funerals in that wilderness. Why? Murmuring. How many funerals do you have in your soul, in your fellowship with the Lord, in your journey, because of murmuring, complaining, griping, bellyaching? The children of Israel suffered for 40 years. Now you think about that. Let's make an application. Let's say if I were there, and I was one of the grumblers, and my children were there. That means Daniel would be 48 before he could go into the land. Think about that. 40 years. Matthew would be 56. You say, boy, what a waste. Look at the lack of living and the joy of the Lord because of murmuring and complaining. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying this. God is not anxious as you are. God's never anxious. But God's not anxious like you are. You may want something, and I want it now. But God may let you linger for years until you have the right spirit before you get it. I don't think I have it. Yes, I do have it noted. Verse 35, God said the murmurers were evil. He said this evil congregation. Beloved, we should not act evil. Verse 36 says the murmurers slander the land. Murmurers tend to be slanderers. How many times do you get around people and they're always talking about somebody else, and running everybody else down? So-and-so this, so-and-so that, so-and-so, 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 and so forth. Slander. You know what slander is? It is a form of murder. Because it is assassinating one's character. Assassinating one's character. Another thing that I noted in verse 36, as I was reading through it a few moments ago, and the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned, notice this. Notice what these murmurers did. Or these slanderers did, they made all the congregation to murmur against him. Beloved, we can sow seeds of discord in such a way that we cause others to murmur. Offenses will come. But the word of the Lord says, woe by him, woe be to him by whom the offense comes. Murmurers turn away from the Lord. Verse 43. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because ye are turned away from the Lord. You turned your back on God, God will turn his back on you. Sometimes children don't like the silence treatment that their parents give them because they're not obeying their parents and their parents just ignore them. Say, how awful. That's what God does to us. Not awful. You turn your back on the authority will turn his back on you. And rightly so. Murmurers are presumptuous, we find in verse 44. But they presumed to go up. Oh, I know what I want. I'm going to get it. Whatever it takes, I'll get it. Oh, sad, sad to hear someone say that. They're presumptuous. They presume upon God. They presumed. But God didn't go with them. Remember what we preached not long ago? We ought to say, the Lord will. I'll do this or that. We ought to pray, God, is this right? Is this the thing that you would have me to do? I may want it, but is it good for my soul? God, I do not know the future 10 years from now. You know. I do not want self-gratification for the moment at the expense of communion with God. They were presumptuous. Presumptuous sinners are those who go against the clear teaching of the Scriptures. Oh, I know that's what the Bible says, but presumptuous. Presumptuous. Look in the 15th chapter of Numbers, verses 30 and 31. But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he hath despised the word of the Lord and hath broken his commandment. That soul shall utterly be cut off, his iniquity shall be upon him. Reminds me of Hebrews 10. If we sin willfully, presumptuous sins. Yeah, I know what the Bible says, but presumptuous. That is the evidence of a murmurer. We've got another section here that time will not permit. But I would invite you to read Numbers chapter 16 between now and next Lord's Day, because that's what Lord willing we'll look at next. We see that chapter where murmurers challenge God's authority. Murmurers continually challenge God's authority. You say, why are you spending so much time on this? Because it's something that we all need, preacher included. We need to be reminded of these sins. Line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. I would remind you, I've never seen a happy murmurer. I've never seen a murmurer rejoicing in the Lord. Let us pray. Holy Father, help us.